next week it was one.
All right. We can get started.
Just have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, your word says if we lack wisdom to ask of God and she'll give it to us liberally. I ask you to give our judge and commissioners wisdom as make wise decisions today. And I pray that your peace would reign and rule in this meeting. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one indivisible.
All right, so notice is given that the Commissioners Court of Orange County, Texas will meet on Tuesday, February 18th, 2020 at 2 p.m. in the Commissioners Courtroom located at 123 South 6th Street for the following purposes to wit. We have a special court session today, and the first item on the agenda is to open court session for comments from court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. And as always, I like to state that we cannot comment back to anything that's not on the agenda. If anybody makes comments about stuff that's not on the agenda, we cannot comment back. And also that we would... what I'm going to do, because I know that all of y'all aren't here wanting to listen to normal, everyday county business probably. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead with the court's permission. I'm going to move that we go to, we'll let citizens' comments be first, as always. But then the next item on the agenda that we will do will be item number 5, and that's the CP Kim. And then I'll read that when we get there. And that way we can move through that process first, and then we can go into the normal county business. And so open up the court right now. If anyone from the audience or wants to come up during the 3 minutes, they're allowed 3 minutes each.
Good evening. My name is Deborah Mitchell, and I'm coming to you this afternoon for my 3 minutes to encourage our citizens to support our February 29th, 2000 Healthy Heart Walk that will be held at the Lamar Orange campus here in Orange County. This is a county event like no other. We're bringing all of the area resources that deal and promote healthy heart and healthy health, not just dealing with heart, stroke, and diabetes, but your heart and health overall. We want to make our county as healthy as possible, so we're bringing in resources from Houston area, and we need and want Orange County to make sure that you're in at this event. Walk through the event, taste the food. We're going to have live cooking demos and some other things that you will be able to receive and get good information. One of our doctors from VA will be there, Dr. Clara, and she will speak on stroke. So we're just expressing to the citizens of Orange the importance of you being healthy every day. We're going to have an exercise class, but most of this is going to be hands-on, free material, and you can get the information that you need for your health. And so we encourage you to come out, and thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. And also, just as a reminder, just when you get up to the podium, state your name and where you're from. When you get there,
you know who I am. I'm Robert Rothrock. And I'm probably the only one in here against this Chevron plant. And I can tell you why I'm against it. 94 years and 4 months ago, I was born in a refinery in Tarrant County, Hodge Station, Magnolia Refinery. And every time the fire whistle blowed, I had to turn the water on for my mom and sister to wet the house down. And I'm 100% against this Chevron plant. In 1955, old John D. Rockefeller, he made moonshine whiskey before he made gasoline. And I'm proud to, he throwed me in the water trough to splash the water out of the water trough where it'd cool down quicker and make more whiskey. And then when I went in the Navy at 17, I knew how to make torpedo juice. That's the same thing as whiskey. So I'm 100% against this. Because I can't figure out why we get a half a cent sales tax and somebody else gets a 99.5 sales tax. Of course, you don't understand what taxes are.
Good afternoon. My name is Mark Viator. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for Jefferson Energy. Today I'm here to speak in favor of the Chevron Phillips tax abatement. I want to thank you for the vision that you have had in granting Jefferson two 100% 10-year abatements. In 2013, we had zero assets on the 250-acre property at the Port of Beaumont on Orange County side. And we had zero employees, and we paid zero in taxes. And because of your vision and your view of economic development in granting us that tax abatement, we have now spent over $500 million and continue to spend. We have gave my annual update presentation in January. We have over 194 full-time employees and another 270 contract employees for a total of 460-something employees working that site that would not have been there had it not been for the tax abatement. We've paid over $17 million in taxes since 2014. And I'd just like to say that it's one thing to have to pay taxes and hire people, but it's something else to have a local utilization plan that not only hires local and local contractors, but also insist on your contractors that you employ hiring local. And one of those contractors was STI. To date, STI has built most of our facility, and they spent their Orange County contractor, and they have spent not only that they received over $300 million in revenue themselves, they have the ability to have capacity. And when you give local contractors an opportunity to have capacity, that stays here. Not only that, they also sub local contractors. And so I just want to thank you for your vision. I want to speak in favor of this abatement.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Trudy Pellerin from Bridge City, Texas. We keep hearing how the new Chevron plant will bring in money and jobs. Let's look at some of the drawbacks of having a chemical plant at the proposed location. Chevron's proposed site will be 2 miles from Bridge City High School, 3.5 miles to West Orange High School, 3.9 miles to Bridge City Elementary School, 4.2 miles to the south edge of Bridge City, and approximately 5 miles to Interstate 10. The Port Neches TPC plant explosion was felt in Vidor, and damage was found in Bridge City. Port Arthur Groves, Needle, and Port Neches had a mandated evacuation for 4 miles away. An explosion like the TPC explosion would take out all of Bridge City and lots of West Orange. The TPC plant had high levels of pollutants after the initial explosion. What's more important, money or lives? Is it worth our children and grandchildren's lives? The record last week reported that the cancer-causing pollutants levels were above the safe level from 6 Texas refineries. The Total refinery near the Rainbow Bridge had the highest concentration of the hazard pollutant, benzene. Levels were 148% greater than the limit. A letter from our state rep states, quote, from Houston to Baton Rouge, major chemical and refining incidents are occurring more frequently. In addition, elevated benzene levels have been reported in Southeast Texas and Houston over the last year, end quote. Adding another plant this close to residents will just add more cancer-causing pollutants, the possibility of explosions, more noise, Houston-style traffic jams, and more accidents. The Golden Triangle already has a large incident of lymphoma cancer. The noise levels will increase, light pollution increases, adds a large amount of traffic through Bridge City and surrounding areas that are already heavily traveled. Bridge City will suffer the brunt of it. We've seen an increase in traffic from the Port Arthur refineries and the LNG plant. During rush hours, it has taken me 30 minutes to go across town. Another Bridge City resident spent 35 minutes to go 4 miles. A third resident no longer gets out during the rush hours. This isn't Houston. And if we're going to turn our little town into Houston metropolis, where are the benefits that go with it? Like theaters, sports events, livestock shows, RV shows, and so on. Our house was built in the 30s. Residents were here long before any of these plants. Plants have encroached upon the citizens, and it's up to this county government to keep the residents' safety first and foremost in their decisions. The explosion at Texas City is a reminder that a major explosion can level the houses for miles around. The recent explosion at TPC was felt as far away as Vidor, and damage was experienced in Bridge City.
Mr. President, I'm sorry, we're at the 3 minutes.
I've got someone that'll give me their 3 minutes, if you don't mind.
It's not the way.
Well, then they need to come and talk.
Okay. Would you come read this for me?
She can yell her time to the speaker.
No, she can't.
They can't.
Okay.
The recent explosion at TPC was felt as far away as Vidor. The damage was experienced as far as Bridge City. For hurricanes, we have prior notice to evacuate. For tornadoes, we can take shelter. But with explosions, we get no warning, no notice. Just like the other morning when you were woken up from the explosion. Unfortunately, government can't stop Chevron from purchasing land here and building if they do it within the legal restraints and guidelines for building. But a lack of an abatement would sure stop the process. The official's argument is that Chevron will bring money and jobs in our community. So would an amusement park or another venture that won't level cities. With an abatement, how much are we losing and how much tax would we actually gain from Chevron anyway? Is it worth lives? I'm all for economic growth, so why can't we work to bring something good into town that helps the economy while not hurting our environment and possibly hurting or killing our citizens? Something like an amusement park, Disney, a large convention center, George Brown Convention Center. How about a large sports arena, Minute Maid? Another chemical plant that close to the residents just puts Orange County into another dangerous situation, just like Port Neches experienced. Taxes won't go down. Streets will get worse. Air quality will get worse. The environment will be noisier. The beautiful starlit nights will be gone. And for that, tax money that we won't get back. Thank you.
Ma'am, can I get your name just for the record since she yielded her time to her?
Pat Sherwood.
Pat Sherwood. Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon. John Chesser with STI. I wanted to speak on behalf of this motion moving forward. We are for that and for this county. I'm also a resident of Orange County, and I look at this as a major investment to the future. Mark mentioned what Jefferson Energy did on a much smaller scale to something of this degree, and it's not just about revenue. It's not just about tax dollars. It is about investment. It's an investment in the future of this county that we haven't had for a long time. I'm 40 years old, and I haven't seen this type of opportunity in 40 years. So we are in favor of it. We will be a partner. We understand that there will be an influx of people that come into the community, and a lot of that will be represented as direct labor cost. That money will go back into the community through groceries, through restaurants, through gas. From STI standpoint, we will buy consumables, we will hire locally, and you cannot put a true value on that type of investment, short term or long term. So let me be clear, we are for this, and this is something that must happen for the growth and prosperity of Orange County.
Thank you.
Commissioners, fellow citizens, my name is Robert Curry. I own Innovative Air Solutions, local business. First of all, I'd like to speak on the abatements. We are 100% in favor of the tax abatements, but what it will do for my business. We are a residential commercial company. We're not an industrial company. So how would the Chevron plant impact my business? Tremendously. Rooftops, businesses, commercial facilities opening up all over town. This is what we have dreamed of my entire life. This is what we've seen. You know, we hear stories about Orange County has come from this little town. What everyone forgets is back during World War II, we had over 100,000 people in this town. Why won't it support an additional 10,000, 15,000 people now? The answer is that it will. We talk about risk. It's one of the biggest things we've heard. Well, there's just such a risk. As a business owner, every business owner in here will tell you right now, we all live with a risk each day. It's a mitigated risk, but it's a risk nonetheless. You mitigate risk by education. You figure out how the best way is for us to operate. That's what this court has done. That's what our city council has done. We now stand at a point in time. We can make a decision. We can either take a risk to move forward. We can take a risk to stay where we are. The risk to stay where we are or go backwards is greater than the risk to move forward. Our schools are suffering. Tax dollars are down. Tax revenues down. Tax bases are leaving. This continues on. You carry this out 10, 15 years, there won't be anyone left in our schools. And when we don't have anyone left in our schools, who's going to pay the taxes? Who's going to fix the roads? You know, we're already in a crisis right now with infrastructure in this country. I stand for this project, and I hope you'll join me in voting for it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Commissioners and Judge. My name is Maureen McAllister. I'm also a resident of Orange County. I live in Bridge City. And I'm also a member of the board for the Greater Orange Area Chamber of Commerce. And I wanted to say we are very much in favor of this tax abatement for Chevron Phillips. First, I'll start by what we're losing if this deal moves forward. Nothing. We're losing nothing. Let's move on to what we gain. This project will provide thousands of temporary jobs. When completed, this will provide hundreds of permanent jobs. These are good jobs, good paying jobs with good benefits. All of these jobs will be filled by people who will spend their money in Orange County. They will use those money that they get from Chevron to pay for their gas, to pay for their food and other retail items in Orange County, which means the taxes are going to go up, the taxes that the individuals pay so that our county taxes can stay down. Those dollars will be helped with infrastructures in Orange County, just as Robert just mentioned. Chevron will look to our local businesses to supply services and supplies, just as STI mentioned. And so this multi-billion dollar project will totally improve the condition of Orange County. Chevron is already a huge supporter of our community. They provide to our schools. They provide to our nonprofits. They help with educational things. If they're doing all that now, imagine how much more they'll be able to increase those giving back to the community when they expand this project. It's an economic issue. The trickle-down theory states that reducing taxes on businesses in the short term will benefit the society at large in the long term. It's the multiplier effect. Call it what you want. I call it a win-win for Orange County. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone with the court? All right, well, I'll say a little bit. I think that the fact that we have so many people out here today shows the importance of something like this. I think that it is a much-needed, long-overdue opportunity for us to have. I think that you'll hear through the presentation today when we get to this part of it that you'll see that the work that the EDC did, the county has done, and Chevron Phillips has done to give the best deal that's going to serve both them and their benefit and the county and our benefit. The opportunity to go and to be able to have things in our future that has been mentioned by other speakers is because you grow your population. That's what makes those people want to come here and build an entertainment complex, a sports center, a water park. You got to have people. They're not going to build it first and then hope the people come. And this is going to be one of those things that provides for those people to come here so that hopefully down the road we can entertain those kind of projects. And I'll kind of leave it that and let it move on to the deal because I think that everybody's kind of anxious for us to get to this point. I will tell you, I'm excited about today. If anything that I've done since I've been in government at all is today. And I think that it should be taken that we're looking to be positive in this county and that we're going to put a positive foot forward in this county and that that's where we're going to go and that we're going to show that we are open for business here, we welcome business here, and that we're thankful that they're looking for Orange County to come. And so anyway, so we'll move on to that. All right, so I will read item number 5 now, and that is discussion and possible action regarding an abatement agreement with Chevron Phillips Chemical Company, L.P. Chevron Phillips Chemical Company, L.P. is considering a $5.6 billion investment within the Chevron Phillips Chemical Reinvestment Zone, 2019 to 2020, located on FM 1006 in Orange County, Texas. The project will consist of a world-scale ethylene cracker and at least one ethylene derivative unit. Ms. Hill, I believe you were up.
Good afternoon. Well, it's definitely with great pleasure that I'm before you today to present for discussion and possible approval a tax abatement agreement between Orange County and Chevron Phillips Chemical Company, LP. More than 4 years ago, Chevron Phillips took interest in Orange County, recognizing an opportunity to build upon its legacy and expand its footprint along the Gulf Coast, capitalizing on developing polyethylene markets, the availability of competitive feedstocks in the region, and growing worldwide demand for its products supports their initiative to develop a world-scale facility right here in Orange County. The existing Chevron Phillips Chemical site has been a fixture in Orange County since its construction by Spencer Chemicals in 1954. Gulf Oil, a predecessor of CP Chem, purchased the facility in 1963, and since that time, CP Chem and its employees have been integral members of this community. My office, elected officials, Orange County businesses, property owners, and citizens have worked tirelessly to recruit CP Chem's investment in Orange County. And let me emphasize the property owners, because without their support and vision to trust the process, none of this would have been possible. Projects of this size and magnitude do not happen overnight. They do not happen in a year. And sometimes they don't even happen in a lifetime. But here we are with an opportunity to change the landscape of Orange County for generations. But that opportunity will only turn to success with a thoughtful and holistic approach to economic development. Chevron Phillips Chemical Company plans to design and construct a world-scale ethylene cracker, at least one ethylene derivatives unit, related administrative buildings, utility, infrastructure, logistics improvements, a rail storage yard, and all other ancillary operations necessary to operate the production facilities. An estimated $5.6 billion will be spent on the improvements in Orange County. This includes $60 million in land costs, $50 million on business personal property, and $100 million on taxable inventories. Construction of the project will begin in 2020-2021, and the project will be completed in approximately 70 months with a phased startup. The construction phase of the project will create as many as 10,000 construction job opportunities. When completed, CP Chem will employ no less than 500 permanent workers with average annual salaries of $100,000, amounting to an annual payroll of $50 million. And because health and safety is also a concern, I believe it's important to note the project will adhere to the highest standards of industry through the utilization of Operation Excellence, which is designed to fulfill the requirements set forth in the American Chemistry Council's Responsible Care Initiative. Chevron Phillips Chemical has extensive experience designing, building, and operating state-of-the-art manufacturing facilities. The safety of the community, employees, and the environment is paramount in everything they do, and it starts in the design and engineering stage of the project. The design of this facility will limit emissions, be much more efficient than older assets, and use the best available technologies to ensure the safety of the community and the company's employees. All of Chevron Phillips Chemical Production sites in Texas are Voluntary Protection Program, VPP, sites. This is an OSHA initiative to recognize employers who have implemented effective safety and health management systems. The recommendation of the Orange County Economic Development Corporation is to incentivize Chevron Phillips potential investment in Orange County. CPChem has not made a site decision or final investment decision. Orange County is still competing for this project, but we are confident Orange County is the preferred site. To move from preferred to announced, Orange County must present the most logical, cost-effective offer available, one that maximizes the return for both the citizens and the company, because that is what our competitors are willing to do. Economic development incentives are a competitive advantage the state of Texas allows us to compete for projects. Now I say it works, considering Texas has won Site Selection Magazine's Governor's Cup year over year. After almost a year of negotiations with Chevron, I believe the agreement you have today exemplifies our obligations to the taxpayers, creates opportunity for our citizens and local businesses, and provides competitive opportunity to Chevron Phillips. The agreement presented is a Chapter 312 tax abatement agreement for a period of 10 years at 100% abatement on the eligible improved value. A Chapter 312 tax abatement is a local agreement between a taxpayer, in this case CPChem, and a taxing unit, Orange County, that exempts all or part of the increase in the value of the real property and or tangible personal property from taxation for a period not to exceed 10 years. In order to apply for economic development incentives, Orange County requires an abatement application from the company identifying the nature of the project as well as the location on which the project would be located. An independent third-party economic impact study and a $1,000 application fee. The application impact study are reviewed by the executive board of the EDC as well as commissioner's court in closed sessions to ensure the confidentiality of the project and competitive nature of the site selection process. This agreement only addresses Orange County and the taxable value within the previously established reinvestment zone and does not bind any other taxing entity to the same at this time. Each taxing entity must go through their own individual processes to approve an agreement specific to their organization if they so choose. This agreement does not include a tax rebate or any other payment to Chevron Phillips. I repeat, there is no rebate being granted to Chevron. Chevron Phillips will pay taxes on all eligible existing value prior to the first year of the abatement term. Chevron Phillips has offered to delay the start of the abatement period to allow additional improvement value to be added to the rolls. This will allow Orange County to immediately recognize value appreciation. Estimated taxable value to be added to the rolls prior to and during the abatement and remain on the rolls during the term of the abatement is $200 to $400 million. By capturing this value on the front end, the actual value abated will be closer to 90 to 93%. Orange County will realize additional value this year by way of CPChem's purchase of more than 1,700 acres. Much of the purchased land carries agricultural exemptions. The exemptions have been removed and will result in an additional $100,000 in revenues for taxing entities. Also, because the proposed use of the land will be repurposed from agricultural to industrial, there'll be a rollback payment for a maximum of 3 years and initiated when site construction begins. The total economic output to be generated in the area from Chevron Phillips operations over the first 20 years is $51 billion. Direct net benefits to the county during that same period is over $170 million. Estimated total payments to West Orange Cove CISD from CPChem and new residents is more than $515 million. And even though the majority of the investment is located in West Orange Cove CISD, Bridge City ISD will recognize as much as $100 million in additional value. The City of Orange, Drainage District, Port, all communities will see net benefits. The economic benefits of this project do not culminate with ad valorem taxes. Estimated taxable spending during the construction of the facility is more than $206 million, which includes the purchase of construction materials as well as direct and indirect construction worker spending. CP Chem will take title to equipment purchases under the EPC contract in Orange County to ensure that sales taxes are appropriately credited, and will obtain a Texas direct payment permit and issue a DPP exemption certificate in lieu of sales tax to the EPC contractor to ensure Orange County maximizes its sales tax benefit. Critical in the negotiation of this agreement was opportunity for local suppliers, contractors, and employment. CP Chem agrees to give preference and priority to qualified local manufacturers, suppliers, vendors, subcontractors, and labor. They've agreed to assist qualified local subcontractors in being added to the approved vendor list and to participate in job fairs seeking local labor to be conducted by CP Chem. They've agreed to report and certify quarterly the total number of dollars spent on local labor, local subcontractors, and local vendor suppliers in connection with the project. As a result of the joint efforts to utilize local sourcing, economic impact of direct, indirect, and induced revenues for businesses in the area total over $5 billion during the construction phase. In addition, CP Chem agrees to host a trade show for local labor, vendors, and subcontractors for the purpose of introducing them to CP Chem and EPC purchasing personnel and providing local vendors with opportunities to showcase products and services to CP Chem. They've agreed to meet the county designees during the term to discuss CP Chem's efforts to utilize qualified local labor, vendors, suppliers, and subcontractors, and to discuss reporting. CP Chem has agreed to meet with local educational institutions upon their request to discuss necessary training for the local labor force in advance of plant startup, and host a website advising local vendors, suppliers, and subcontractors how to do business with CP Chem in Orange County. Aside from capital advantages, Chevron Phillips Chemical is assisting with Orange County infrastructure needs. Their site drainage plan accounts for not only their own runoff to ensure zero impact to the system, but has been designed to improve existing drainage infrastructure. And last October, the City of West Orange was notified it was awarded a $5 million grant from the Economic Development Administration to support the design and construction of a new wastewater treatment plant. These funds were secured by leveraging Chevron Phillips' interests and citing their investment in Orange County. You've heard a lot from me about the economic impact of this potential investment on Orange County, so I want you to hear what your citizens have to say as well, in their words. From one, I'm 110% on board. The abatement will be nothing in the big picture. Think of the housing, grocery, gas, and every other bit of money that is spent in the area. Seeing that a company wants to invest $5 billion in Orange County is a great day for Orange County and its residents. Yes, definitely more jobs. All these expansions are driving our unemployment rate down. Definitely should help locals. For 10 years of reduced taxes on new construction, what does Orange County gain? Hundreds of high-paying construction jobs, increased consumer buying for the duration of the construction, city taxes and sales from food, restaurants, motel, and truck sales. And I completely support this. The huge impact it will have on our area is worth a total abatement. I know there are a lot of companies that are already looking at the area for a diverse array of new businesses. They're just waiting to hear if CP is coming here. And while the financial impact this project will have on our community is immense, we have yet to mention any of the goodwill benefits Chevron Phillips participates in as a company. Here in Orange County already, they have contributed over $100,000 in disaster recovery funds. They're an annual contributor to the United Way campaign. Chevron Phillips has sponsored many community events such as charitable golf tournaments, Salvation Army Christmas, and more. And in other communities in which they are making investments, Chevron Phillips has donated park benches and made significant investments in the school district's career and technical education programs. The last 4 years and today's action is just the beginning. There are soon to be many opportunities to consciously approach this development with optimism in consideration of how we may leverage Chevron Phillips' investment in Orange County to advance the community's long-term needs. But Chevron Phillips is not our cash cow. They are not responsible for fixing problems that have plagued our infrastructure for years. They are not responsible for building new restaurants. And they are not responsible for creating a robust quality of life. We are. But with them, we can. George Mitchell, a legend in the oil and gas sector and arguably the father of fracking, said in his Horatio Alger acceptance speech, "This country, we have the economic environment in which the pursuit of success can really be an honorable and enjoyable game. And if we play the game, preferably, everybody wins. By properly and preferably, I mean we must work hard and be fair. We must be compassionate and decent. And we must return to society as much or more than what we got out of it." At this time, I'd like to invite representatives of the Chevron Phillips team to make a few comments and any other citizens that would like to speak as well.
Hi, my name is Cheney Moore. I'm the real estate and property tax manager for Chevron Phillips Chemical. As you can see today, there's is a lot of support here for this project. This is the largest single site initiative CP Chem's ever looked at. And when we look at site selection and we see the support we've gotten here today, it sends a clear picture that Orange County is interested in business. And I'd just like to thank the EDC for the long road that we've worked with them to come here today, and with Commissioner's Court, and the support we've seen from business and employees and just in residents to get to this point today. I wish I could say that if this voter approves the abatement, I could come back up here and say that it is Orange. I can't do that yet. We have some hurdles that we'll still have to clear. Just to be perfectly honest, we're still working with the JV partner to get this approved, and a final investment decision will be occurring later this year or the beginning of the year. But this sends a clear signal to both our parent companies that Orange is ready and a willing partner in this. CP Chem, as mentioned before, has been in this community and part of this family for over six decades now. And we just appreciate everything that you can do to help us get there as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Good afternoon. I'm Lainey Brown, Regional Director of Community Relations for Congressman Brian Babin, and he really wanted to be here today, but he did ask me to read this letter on his behalf, and it's addressed to you, Judge Gauthier, and the commissioners. It says, "I'm writing to encourage your continued support of Chevron Phillips Chemical's proposed project in Orange County. The citizens, community leaders, and businesses of Orange County are all excited about the possibilities of what a project of this magnitude could do for their community. This project is an opportunity to change the course of Orange County and the Southeast Texas economy, and the feedback I'm getting from my constituents is overwhelmingly in favor of this project. My office has worked closely with the Army Corps of Engineers and the U.S. Economic Development Administration on everything from permits to grants in support of this project, and continue our commitment to doing whatever it takes to get the job done. I congratulate Orange County on their continued support of this project and willingness to work with Chevron Phillips to make this proposed project a reality. Respectfully, Brian Babin, Member of Congress."
Thank you. Thank you.
David Jones, actually a citizen of Orange County, Orange in the city of Orange. I'm also a business owner here. I own Gopher Industrial along with my business partner, David Salen. I've served on the school board for LCM 10 years, 2 years as the president of the board. I served on the Chamber of Commerce board for several years and 1 year as chairman. And I've served on other various boards in our community. And I don't put my resume out there to flaunt my success or anything. And some of my friends are probably saying, well, bull. But the reason I do it is because I truly care about Orange County, and those of you that know me know that my heart's always, you know, been here for Orange, and I've wanted something better. I've always bragged about us having intercoastal waters, always having water resources, having an interstate, having railway, and we've worked on different committees together. We've done Bassmasters, done all these great things. And one of the things I've always said, we're looking for a diamond in the rough. Orange is a great place to invest in, and I believe that and saw that. 15 years ago, we put a business here, and I looked at Chemical Row as an area that we could support and bring a good business and do well here if they had the infrastructure here, if they had some of those resources. And over the years that we've had our business, other businesses have come in here and developed, like STI and Cypress Bio and on, and we've been able to have some success, but there's still room for more success. Earlier this year, or last year, with the court had an abatement policy where they supported some type of abatement negotiation, and it got to where it wasn't spoken of so positively for a little bit, and I worked towards bringing together around 100 businesses to help them understand the 312s, the 313s, the economic impact of what Chevron Phillips investing here would do for us, and the reason that we should get behind it as business owners. We're not just business owners, we're parents, we're fathers, we're mothers, and we really wanted to see this take place and gave the support to the court. And y'all were already moving in that direction, and there's been change in that. And now we're down to a finalist, and they're trying to make a decision. We bring up environmental concerns. I was at BP Amoco in 2003 on site when there was an explosion. I was at TPC 2 days before they had their incident. But there, I go to plants all across America. I've been in our area to all the plants, and there's millions and millions and millions of man hours that are done with never an incident. It's amazing what our area does for the rest of the country with no incidents. And the facility that they're talking about bringing here, it's state-of-the-art, it's the newer technology. I know a lot of these plant managers and stuff, people that work on the environmental side, they care about the footprint that they leave in our area. So I think as we continue to grow and make investments with the newer technology, it becomes a lesser and lesser of an issue. But that's the world we live in. We assume some level of risk if we want to have the things like the stadiums and the new pavilion and stuff like that. Historically, my concern has been there's not been any long-term investment here in a long time. And now in the last handful of years, we've had new leadership, Gene Allgate over at Dow, Ed Barr at IP, who's we recently lost, and we got Craig Lemons at Chevron Phillips. They come out and they face the community every day. They eat with them at lunch. They see them at different committees. And they have to look the public in the face, and they start to have heart for our community. They care, and they want to engage and do stuff with the Cypress Bios and the STIs and the Gopher Industrials and stuff. My concern is at some point, Craig leaves or Gene Allgate leaves, and we're back to where we started at. And so we are in favor of the abatement. The business owners that I know, we want the abatement. We want the diamond in the rough. We want Chevron Phillips, and we want the court to support that. But we also want to make sure that the flip side of the abatement is that the way we invest in the kids that we employ, that all go to Lamar Orange, to the college and the high schools and stuff like here, or support Red Cross or United Way, is keeping those dollars local. And I want to really challenge the court and CP Chem, if they so choose to select Orange as their home, we want you. But we want you to not do what history's done in the past and engage us, bring us in. Because I'm an ex-corporate person. I've sat on the 25th floor in the corner office and managed supply chain for a global multi-billion dollar company. And I know how we're wired. We're shareholder driven. We got to get returns. We got to watch our dollars. But dollars invested back in the community, and it might not even be the best price, but it helps bring human resources, students that stay here and go to college, student that becomes engineers, parks in your area, places to walk. Invest in the community, keep the dollars here, and whatever abatement, we haven't seen the full details of it. It sounds positive. I love what Jessica's saying. It's got to make sure that we cover this the investment long term. And we would love to have CP Chem be that diamond in the rough. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Clyde McKee. I'm president of the Stark Foundation.
and a lifelong resident of Orange, Texas. Our founder of the Stark Foundation, H.J. Letcher Stark, and his cousin, J. Edgar Brown, courted DuPont and the other chemical plants over 70 years ago. Think where we'd be if we hadn't brought in DuPont. The folks on Chemical Row have provided us our leaders, our county commissioners, our mayors, our school board members, the kids in the schools. If it wasn't for the Chemical Row, Orange would be a much smaller, more rural area. And that's what we can be if we approve this tax abatement. Once Chevron builds their plant, they're not moving it. It's going to be here 100 plus years from now, and paying full taxes after the 10th year. And it will bring immeasurable benefits to Orange County. It will provide growth for all Orange Countyans and provide immeasurable side benefits. Ancillary businesses will come in to support Chevron, and I just can't really comprehend the growth that's about to take place and the opportunities that afford our kids. And that's one thing I feel very strongly about. Now we don't have much reasons for our kids to stay in Orange. We've all had children who've left for greener pastures, Houston, Dallas, Austin. But hopefully this will give a reason for a lot of them to stay. Dr. Johnson at Lamar State College Orange is doing his level best to provide all kinds of certifications and educational reasons for kids to get jobs here and to locate here. And so I urge you to please give whatever incentives you can to Chevron Phillips Project. Thank you.
Carl LeBlanc. I'm for Chevron to come here. I have a few questions for Jessica. Can I ask her questions? I mean, she presented their plan.
Yeah.
When you started, you said something about a $200 million payment up front. Is that correct?
No, $200 million
in value. So $200 million in value. Okay. And what code, what chapter are y'all doing this abatement under? 312?
312.
Okay. And are there going to be any pilot payments for this agreement? Like
the
they
value
did?
That's captured in the beginning would equate to a pilot payment.
Okay, so let me get this right. Jefferson Energy pays pilot payment, and they're just a $500 million company, $5 billion company. Y'all aren't requiring pilot payment for 10 years.
The delay in the start of the abatement would allow value to come on the rolls that would be taxable, which would be comparable to a pilot payment.
Okay. It actually would be a little, by the numbers we figured, it's actually a little bit better than a pilot payment would have figured out to be.
Okay. I'm just trying to get get this. Okay. And I think that's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you, Carl.
I just had some questions.
All right. Thank you, Carl. Anyone else? Okay. Anyone from the court?
I'll say something.
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. Just need to step up so you can say your name and where you're from, please.
I'm Travis Woods from Buena, Texas. Moved here 30 years ago. Always had an office in Orange, Texas. So Orange has a special place in my heart. I'm president of the Gulf Coast Industrial Group. We span from Baton Rouge to Lake Charles to the Golden Triangle to Houston to Corpus. And I represent 700 contractor, supplier, and vendor members, many of which are here today. And we very much hope that this project goes through. We're excited about it. And I challenge folks that are not in the industrial business to think outside the box. You know, a few years ago, Motiva had the CEP project. Mr. Ross, they bought 150 trucks at one time. And those trucks had to be maintained. They had to have fuel. And, you know, anybody with RV parks, hotels, you know, it's going to be just fabulous for these folks, the groceries, such as that. So think outside the box. You may not own a pair of steel-toed boots, but that's okay. You know, you will, it'll be exciting. So we're so excited for this project. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Anyone else?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go ahead, John.
Okay.
I think it's obvious any plants that are here will probably grow as a result of Chevron coming in. Retail will sell a lot more. Whatever it is you sell, you'll sell more of it because there'll be more people here in town. I think you'll see companies here start to locate here to serve Chevron plant. And then I think it also, you know, something that cannot be understated is we're going to send a signal out to the rest of the world that we're open for business. I think you're going to see more expansions here. I think you'll see more people looking to come here. Talking to a local realtor, she's getting calls every day for people just looking for property to buy as an investment. Not even a particular piece of property, just a piece of property. So this will be as big as DuPont was when it came to Orange. This will be bigger, and this will do things for our community for 50, 75 years down the road. So nothing but, I think, good things for our community.
I'll say something. I was small when DuPont was built, and believe it or not, I was young. And what it brought to Orange at that time was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, the DuPont addition bloomed, people came, Roselawn came, Charlemont came, all these additions in Orange came for people to live because there weren't places, so they had to build. I'm commissioner in precinct 2. I'll give a little plus for that. We got a lot of room to grow. And people that are waiting for people to come, and land is already being sold, and we have beautiful land around Orange, Texas. And when somebody mentioned about the amusement parks and we have a world-renowned theater here that people come to from Lake Charles, Houston, Beaumont, everywhere. So we've got things. But these amusement parks and things like that, they couldn't be supported at this point. But if the people have come here with jobs, they can support that, and it will come. You have to have faith that when something right happens, it will come.
Well, I just say that I think Orange County is wide open for business. I want to thank Jessica, number one, for putting up with me a lot because I've been asking questions probably on a daily basis, probably since I came on board here. And Cheney, I know we've had conversations. Some of the things I said you probably didn't like, but a lot of things you said I didn't like either. But, hey, we came to an agreement I think we can all live with, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see Chevron here. At this juncture, I hope to see them come start putting something on the ground here as quickly as possible. I think it's a great thing for Orange County. I think that it's going to help us in tremendous ways all over, in the schools, and the housing, and the businesses, and every part of it. All I can say is that I'm real excited, and thank y'all. Thank y'all for considering us. Thank y'all for coming here, and thank y'all for listening to us and working with us through this thing. I wish it could have been a Christmas present, but I guess you and I didn't see eye to eye at that particular time. But
Easter will be fine.
we're gonna make it happen, and thank y'all very much. Rebirth. Is all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Rebirth at Easter.
Being from all the way on the other side of the county, we will feel impact from this. I think we already are, actually, just from this discussion, feeling impact. We have businesses open up. I mean, and we're right next to Beaumont, and this is impacting us already. I don't think anybody can fathom $51 billion of impact on the economy. I don't think that figure's ever occurred in Orange County. So we look forward to it. I thank everybody involved. Jessica, you've done a wonderful job. And putting up with Kurt is tough, I understand. But we thank y'all, we welcome y'all, and hope this continues forward. And I think it's a great day in Orange County.
And thank y'all for being
here. I tell you, it's been a very interesting road that we've came down to get to where we are today. The opportunities that are in front of us, the opportunities that most of us, there are some young folks in here, a lot of us are sitting here won't even see the true fruition of this in our lifetime because it's going to be that long and that withstanding. the availability for our kids and our grandkids to have an opportunity to stay here and work and have that opportunity because of this being hopefully located in our area is just hard for me to imagine. Again, I would like to thank Jessica. There has been many, many phone calls at many, many hours of the night. Chaney, thank you. I mean, because it has been a negotiation of what it is and to where we're all trying to get what we need. We're trying to get you what you need and that we all benefit at the end. My most recent phone call with Jessica was over folding towels. So, you know, we kind of delayed that. She was folding towels. I was not. But, you know, so the fact that this negotiation,
on a holiday.
Yeah, on a holiday, no less. But, you know, we don't take this lightly. You know, we don't take this lightly on this court and any entity that's here because we know the importance of it. And I think one of the things that I would like to mention, because we've talked about the benefit to businesses and we've talked about the benefit to schools, but the one thing that we haven't really talked about in direct form is the benefit to you as an individual homeowner. You don't own a business here. You just get up and you go to work every day and you raise your kids and you try to do what you can do. I would tell you to reference back to the taxes that you've paid in Orange County, at your school taxes and whatever, and go all the way back to 1970s. And look at what Chemical Row is, those plants that are out there that got abatements through the years, and look at what your tax rates have done as those companies rolled off your tax roll. I mean, rolled on back onto the tax roll from their abatement. And look at the reduction in your taxes that you paid per home, per individual home. And see the benefit that you as an individual homeowner got when those companies rolled off the abatements that they received to come here. The DuPonts, the Gulfs back in the day, and the Firestones, and look at that benefit. And it's detailed information. You can see the tax rate change those years those companies rolled off the tax roll to you as an individual homeowner. Because at the end of the day, if it doesn't benefit every single one of us, it doesn't benefit. And I think that you're going to see that this is it. Again, we thank Chevron Phillips for the opportunity to be in this competition, to be able to get it. We hope you choose us. We hope this is the place that you want to go, because we certainly want you to be here. And I think that hopefully as we move forward this vote, that message will be sent loud and clear. Thank all of you for coming out and doing this and showing your support for it. I know it's a very important thing for all of us that we get this done and that we move forward with Orange County beginning to grow again like it did years ago. And I think that there's not, you know, we all want that. Whatever side of this on, we want it to grow. And I want low taxes. And, you know, I think that's a drive for all of us that own property and have anything in here. You want your taxes to go lower, but this is how you lower it. It's a business equation. You grow your revenue, then your expenses can be cut. And that's what you got to do. And this is a way for us to grow our revenue so that we can cut it on the other side, but still be able to provide the services that we're the county are supposed to do. So I'll get off my soapbox because I can go on for a while. So anyhow, and they all know that up here. So we're going to, at this point, unless there's any other comments or considerations from the audience, then we will accept a motion at some point.
I'll make that motion.
Second. I have a motion by 3 and a second by 1. And what I'm going to do, because I want this to be a vote of record, so we're going to take all in favor. We'll do a roll count as we go down the deal. So starting with Precinct 1.
A.
Precinct 2.
A.
Precinct 3.
Yes.
Precinct 4.
Aye.
And the judge votes aye. So motion passes to pass the abatement for Chevron Phillips. Again, thank God. We'll move to the next thing. We'll let everybody, if you want to exit, or you can stay and listen to the rest of the mundane part of the county business if you're wanting.
We'll pay bills next. So
we'll pay bills next. So anyway, but thank y'all for coming out.
Thank y'all very much.
Take a couple of minutes to let everybody get out.
Now get that tab plant kicked back off.
He got you back, did he? His daughter. I may see you sometime later. I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you for coming, Teresa Beecher. Teresa, did you sign this document? I'm glad we did.
Some form of it.
Okay, well, now I'm trying to talk to you.
Is it good or not?
That agenda item is not authorized to county bank.
We're always saying writing or agreement out of the room.
Everybody's going to leave. We're going to make another motion.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Is this the final draft? Did you guys
saw Steve yesterday in the dock? Instead of three dockers.
Hey, you can sit down here. Yes, Father.
I just think we should clarify just to make sure the director, if they're still negotiating any part of this, or.
I think it's pretty much the same.
Okay. Then I would suggest amending the motion to authorize the county judge to sign it. You don't have to. I mean, y'all can just go along. It's just that. We always call
for the
county judge to sign.
If it's signed, it makes it more.
The motion should have been to authorize the judge to sign the agreement.
The court is not authorized to sign this document.
It's your motion.
No, it's his motion.
Your motion. We can correct that right until we come back.
Yes.
We'll correct it.
You mean
we adjourn?
The judge to sign. The agreement. We'll take care of the minutiae here in a second.
Everybody was clapping.
I know. It kind of went.
Republicans would never come out against that.
Yeah.
Not
everybody.
Nobody cares
about that.
I'm trying to. Sometimes their ears are too full of.
Sometimes we're preaching to the choir.
But I wasn't in because you thought.
No, what I was telling you.
I know what you were telling me.
We can close the doors here in just a second. Because there's going to be a lot of noise.
What did you do?
What? We'll go ahead and close it. And we'll go ahead and start.
Back.
Right now.
How's that door open on the side?
Then we had it so that the air would flow.
People were leaning.
Oh, that's right. I saw Daniel looking through that door.
People were leaning in flat.
Yeah, I think it did. I think we're better.
All right.
Since we're gonna go back because we missed a little bit because everybody kind of started clapping before we got to finish. So we want to make sure because we need to approve for the county judge to sign the agreement. So Commissioner Rockford, if you'd like to amend your motion for that,
I'll make my motion to approve the judge to sign the agreement with CP
Kim. Okay. And I still second that motion.
All right.
Sign the abatement agreement.
Yeah.
All right, and then so we can just for record, we'll roll call again. So precinct 1.
Eight.
2.
Aye.
3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Okay. Now, they all erupted in happiness.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Play that back again. And our legal counsel satisfied with that?
Yes,
are we good now? There we go. All right. So now I'm going to also jump one more time because where's he at? He's over there. I'm going to jump to item number 20 because Joel has to go do something here real quick, and I'm holding him up as it is. So item 20, discussion and possible action regarding awarding RFP 20003 grant applications and administrative services CDBG, MIT, and authorizing the Orange County Judge or Judge Pro Tem to sign the same. Ms. Connie?
Yes, I'm presenting you all with the mixed evaluation. So the court should review, award, or favor, whatever the court wants to do.
I had so much room.
I'd like to bring to the court's attention, just as part of you deciding what you want to do, the original committee that was designated to review those applications included Commissioner Beeson, who, because she has been struggling with some issues, was not able to score and review. It was scored and reviewed by the reviewed and scored by the other four members. So what you have is the tabulation based on the four who did. Court has the option of awarding today. If you want to wait to give Commissioner Beecham time, you can. However, I'll say this, based on the score tabulations, the top bid is 4% higher than the next bid down, which means that she would have to score the second one a full 16 points higher in order to even tie. So I just want the court to be aware of the situation with the committee.
All right, thank you. Thank you. And you've seen it. Oh, so that, Connie, you're good with that, too?
Yes.
And if anyone of them, and if anyone else on the court has any issues with it, we can postpone or we can move forward.
I don't think it's going to change.
I don't think it wouldn't change with 16,000. So I'm not going to make the motion since I held it up. Make it.
I make a motion that we approve the Traver and Associates. I think it's the one that scored the highest. Let me read the agenda. Authorizing the county judge and Judge Pro Tem to sign the same.
I'll second that.
And I would just say county judge or judge or pro tem, not pro and, so it makes it sound like it's both needs to sign. Did I catch that one pretty good, Denise? That's pretty good.
We only got one last time. Let's get them both this time.
There we go. We're going to get them both.
And to be clear, we don't actually have a contract
in
yet,
place at the moment.
So what you'll be approving is for you to sign the contract when it's submitted and approved.
And then we'll vote on it again at that time?
You can approve him to vote on it as soon as it's approved by legal.
The contract once it's approved.
All right. I have a motion by four.
Second.
I have a second by two for Traylor and Associates. Any further discussion? All in favor? All right. Motion passes. All right. Now we can go back.
There wasn't as much enthusiasm in that.
I know. There wasn't as much hoopla around that.
It's all
going to
be a letdown.
What the
heck?
All right. Now we'll go back up and we'll start back up where we were. Originally supposed to be in this item number two, discussion and possible action regarding items related to natural disaster Imelda. And I know that Ms. Joel has some because we have Kurt is out today. So,
Judge Commissioner, just quickly on the one update, and I appreciate the court moving the schedule, the agenda around to accommodate that meeting. I've got a FEMA meeting. I'm going to leave as soon as this is done, but. Judge, I know you're aware, but the for the rest of the court, we did the state did get denied on the PA. That was the request made for the most affected counties. There is an appeal process, which the state is going to attempt to appeal that decision. But at least at this point, we have been denied. Not just Orange County, the state as a whole. So that's where we stand on that at the moment. Okay. And I'll get to the other updates. Next week. They're not that important.
Okay.
We're denied. Everybody's denied.
Everybody.
Does that mean it's dead in the water or it could come back?
No, there's an appeal process, okay. Which Chief Kidd with the Texas Division of Emergency Management, from my understanding, is planning on appealing that decision.
Okay. Sounds great.
Thank you, Joel.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else on that? All right. We'll move to item number three, discussion and possible action regarding items related to Hurricane Harvey, including updates on Orange County buildings, properties, and roads. And as I mentioned just a minute ago, Kurt is out today. So had some issues come up last minute, so he's out. So unless anyone else has anything on Harvey that they want to update on or talk about, then we'll move forward to item number four. Okay. Item number four, recognize Ms. Deborah Bedner, representative of Keep Orange County Beautiful, to encourage Orange County citizens to support the trash off schedule for February 22nd, 2020, and recycling in Orange County.
Right. Well, first of all, I'm Deborah Bedner from the City of Orange, and I want to thank Judge Gauthier and the commissioners for allowing Keep Orange County Beautiful to be on the agenda and speak here today. As you all probably remember, we work with community partners in Orange, Superior Tire, and D&D Scrap last year to have a very productive recycling effort. This time last year with Shangri-La at the Trash Off, we collected and recycled over 200 tires. Later in the year, in July, we worked with the city of Vidor and recycled almost 900 tires, 890 tires, and 10,000 pounds of scrap metal. Keep Orange County Beautiful secured funding for these events from Southeast Texas Resource Conservation and Development. This is the community outreach arm of the Texas Commission of Environmental Quality. Most of you know it as TCEQ. And so Southeast Texas RC&D covered the cost of disposal funds for these projects from TCEQ enforcement money. It was about $7,000 to no cost to the taxpayers of the city or the
Thank
county.
You.
Yay. Okay. So, as we continue working with our community partners in 2020, we're encouraging youth and families to demonstrate the importance of the environment in their community through personal commitment and volunteerism. Most of you know that Shangri-La is holding their annual trash off this weekend, February 22nd, at the boat ramp. In addition to teams collecting trash, Keep Orange County Beautiful is bringing the recycling part of this event. We are allowing each of Orange County residents to bring 8 tires apiece, with or without rims. It's a pretty big deal when you're doing tires.
I know who they can
get. Also, they can bring scrap metal. And this is a new part of the cleanup event we're adding this year. Each cleanup or pickup team will be given 2 to 3 of the Recyclops blue recycling bags to put any bottles or cans that they find during the cleanup into those recycling bags, and those two will be collected there at the turn-in point. So all of this information is all of these items are to be recycled and to keep Orange County in alignment with TCEQ, Southeast Texas RC&D, Keep Texas Beautiful, and Keep America Beautiful. Plus, this is what I brought my sign.
Thank you.
Ta-da!
Oh, how pretty. Where are you going to put that, Dorothy?
Well, I was going to talk to Johnny Trahan about that later, but we did reaffirm our status.
You need his home address?
As a Keep Texas Beautiful affiliate. However, Mr. Bednar will not allow me to keep the sign in the living room. So we do need to find someplace else to display it. The second part of my discussion today is that Keep Orange County Beautiful is expanding their community partnership with Dow Chemical. We're working together with Dow to create a vision for environmental health in Orange County. The first event in this will be a recycling summit planned to engage industry, government, and community leaders. It will be held on Earth Day, April 22nd of this year, 2020, at Lamar State College, Orange. It's our intent to invite experts in sustainability and industry partners to speak and interact, network with the community at that event. We'll be inviting industry, government, and community leaders to it. Then later, through the spring and the summer, we will work with Dow to participate in community events, sharing information and education on recycling, litter control and enforcement, beautification, at events like the LCM Community Resource Fair, Art in the Park, EcoFest, Cops and Kids, Orange County Back to School. Then culminating in the fall with a recycling event on or near National Recycle Day on November 15th. The details are still being planned for this, but we anticipate that it will be an e-waste event where you can bring electronics or anything that has a plug to be recycled at that time. So, Keep Orange County Beautiful is requesting from the court that you endorse and support the annual trash off and recycling drive that will happen this weekend, and then your endorsement and support as the first step forward in creating the vision for environmental health in Orange County, the Recycling Summit on Earth Day, April 22nd.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
One question, Deborah, are you still there?
Oh, yes.
How is Recyclops working right now?
Recyclops, as you may already know, if you're recycling, we have a private company that is collecting recycling at the curbside. So previously we had it at 1442 at the Old County Dump. Mm-hmm. They began operation in November, I believe, and they had to have 300 households. We have more than 300 now, and their operation seems to be going very smoothly. They were anxious to be included in the trash off because they're looking to expand their customer base. Nice. Keep Orange County Beautiful is looking at different advertising and in engagement with the community to spread the information, to spread the news. And so I think we have some surprises in store for, like, what's in those green bags anyway, and what are we doing with them? So look to see some of those things coming in the local media.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And Johnny, be looking for a place for this great song.
I will certainly be doing that.
I think we will find you a good location.
I think he can find you.
If we can ever get these political signs down, I'm sure we'll find more spots.
We'll certainly have a lot of T-post. All right. Thank you. All right. So we will move, since we've already covered item number five, we will go to item number six. And that is discussion and possible action regarding filing in the minutes of the court a direct deposit from the State Controller of Public Accounts in the amount of $598,645.46. These funds represent the half-cent sales and use tax allocation for the month of December 2019 and have been credited to the General Operating Fund. And I know Christy is always excited to talk about that.
It is in the bank.
That's all that needs to be said.
That's the best part.
Right.
Christy, where were we, up or down from last year?
Up.
That's even better.
That's pretty dope.
That's a good thing.
Go ahead and move to accept that into the minutes.
I have a motion by one, a second by four to accept that in the record. So any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. All right, item 7, discussion and possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings and also specifically as follows. $3,450 to Memorial Funeral Home from the General Fund 001-111-54290 for indigent funeral expense. Item B, $3,450 to Claybar Funeral Home from the General Fund 001-111-54290 for indigent funeral expenses and as follows.
And also for approval on February 18th, 2020, from the General Fund, $295,835.43. Road and Bridge, $2,324.65. Mosquito Control, $4,253.45. Adult Probation, $7,250.50. Airport, $2,407.63. Consolidated accounts, $1,286.67, for a total payment of $313,358.33.
Move to go ahead and pay the bills listed by the auditor.
I second that.
Motion by one, a second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item number 8, discussion and possible action regarding approving a line item transfer from the 128th Judicial District Court from 064-245-5999 other $5,161 and 001-210-5999 other of $1,141.50 to 064-245-5790 equipment greater than $5,000 of $5,161 and 001-210-5790 equipment greater 5,000 of $1,141.50 purpose to provide funds for the replacement of the 128th courtroom sound system we have anybody from Mr. Keene's office.
I make a motion that we accept that. I don't think we have anyone here.
Okay. We have a motion by two.
Mm-hmm. We basically, I work with them, and
what are these
they're going to be pretty thin, but we're going to see if, you know,
carry throughout the year within the budget,
carry it
within their
if they need
line
other
item
things,
stuff.
And
okay.
They may have to come through contingency. But yeah.
This so right now, it's good. To
this was the best we could figure out for the time being.
Okay. All right, so I have a motion by two. I have a second by three. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Item 9, discussion and possible action regarding approving a line item transfer from the Sheriff's Office from 001-740-5999, other $1,000 to 001-740-5210, office supplies of $1,000, purpose to provide funds to replenish the line item. Sheriff Maradini.
No, sir. We had some unexpected expenses that we had to take out of those things and put the money back.
Okay.
Motion.
Second.
I have a motion by three. I have a second by four. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item 10, discussion and possible action regarding the Orange County Commissioners Court acceptance of the Certificate of Compliance for the recent unannounced jail inspection held on January 16, 2020. State law requires periodic inspections of county jail facilities. This Certificate of Compliance was issued by the Texas Commission on Jail Standards to the Sheriff and the Orange County Jail, stating that Orange County Jail is in compliance with Texas Minimum Jail Standards. Sheriff Merritt?
Yes, sir. Judge, I'll put this on the agenda. For this week, I wanted the whole court present to officially accept in the minutes the inspection report. I believe all of y'all have a copy of everything. Did what I do every year. I put the entire packet in there, including the actual inspection that the inspector did to show a few of the notables that he noticed that give us the time to have it fixed and everything. So it was another wonderful inspection for the Orange County Jail and Orange County as a whole. I can't say enough on how proud I am of the staff in the jail.
That's right.
For doing this year after year after year. It's getting a little old in the jail, and I'm going to let Captain Eiselstein get up. He is the administrator of the jail, and he brought some of his people today that are very, very instrumental in making this happen year after year after year. So with that, I'm going to let Captain take it.
Commissioner's Court is a privilege to be here. I brought a few with me through my staff. I first want to let you know you've got an awesome staff that works in the jail. They work hard day in and day out. Right now we're short-staffed, so we're working overtime every day, and that gets pretty old after a while. The guys wanting to take a break here and there, and sometimes it's kind of difficult, but I've got a lot of guys, ladies and men that step up over there and come in and take care of business, and we really do appreciate that. Lieutenant Dubose with me, he's very instrumental in our inspection process. Sergeant Jones, I can't say enough about her. She is a blessing, needless to say. Sergeant Jones, during inspection, she handles almost all the paperwork that has to be done. And jail inspections on a jail our size takes about an hour and a half walkthrough, and then takes about 6 hours
paperwork.
And she does an excellent job, has done an excellent job for a long time, and I appreciate her. Also, Officer Lowe. Officer Lowe is our only guy that we have in the jail that's assigned to maintenance, and sometimes he gets pulled to do other things. But as the sheriff said, we did have a few instances this time around. It's getting harder and harder to pass jail inspections. I've been in this. I've been dealing with jail inspections for 30 years, and it's getting more and more difficult to do this because of guidelines and things that the state puts on us and doesn't give us any money to do these things with. Mental health issues, as I'm sure you're all aware of, is a very important, probably one of the most important things we do. But we had three technical assistance areas, and two of those have been addressed and corrected. The other one is one in which I need your help. We've Commissioner Vietor was there when the inspector did the debriefing on the inspection, and we've got quite a few areas of the jail that need addressing as far as maintenance. And they gave us a six-month timeline, so we've got some of the things done, but the inspector will be back probably in July sometime, and he's expecting to come back and see all these things repaired, and so we're working on those daily, but I need your assistance in that area with county maintenance being able to help us to get some of these things, and I would hope to possibly in the future be able to hire someone else to help Officer Lowe, but right now I can't even fill the shifts with full staff, so I guess that's one of the things that's bad about a good economy is that everybody else gets a job somewhere else, and then when all those jobs fall through, then they come back to the jail. So, you've got the list in front of you of the areas that the jail commission noted, and any assistance that you can give us to help us with that areas, we would be greatly appreciated. The jail's getting old. The old part of the jail is probably 50 years old or older. And we got rust and everything else that we have problems with. So, but again, it was good inspection. We're pleased with the way it came out, and it was definitely a surprise because they're all unannounced now. But you don't necessarily you never know when they're coming. You kind of figure they're going to come about the same time they did last year. I told the inspector when he showed up, I've known him for several years, I told him, I said, this ain't fair. And he looked at me, he said, what? I said, I hadn't been jail administrator for 10 months, and I said, I've only had two inspections. I said, there's something wrong with that. But
sometimes people like to go to where they know they're going to get good inspections at.
So, well,
inspectors held accountable too, right?
Yeah, but they have to inspect everybody in a year. So, you know, name but three inspectors and inspect the whole state. You can imagine, how busy they are. In some of the jails, it takes all the inspectors to get them.
But anyway, I would like to add to what he said there, because I did sit through the debriefing, like he said. The inspector spoke very highly of our jail crew. He complimented them. I mean, he found deficiencies. You're always going to find deficiencies in any inspection. I don't think they feel like they're doing their job unless they do. But he did highly compliment our staff. It was really an honor to sit there and listen to him do that. He did stress that he will be back to inspect those in roughly 6 months. So I really think we've used some of that time up already. That help the court can give in the maintenance area, we need to try to do that.
Okay, yeah. Officer Lowe, you do the maintenance. Is that correct? I want to know, and I'm new at this, so I don't always know everything. They do, but I don't. the handicapped chair, the leaking in the sink, why didn't our maintenance department do that? I mean, doesn't that fall under them?
I think what happens is Officer Lowe tries to do the minor things he can take care of.
Yeah, but I mean, when it shows up on a report, those are things obviously that aren't minor. That's been an ongoing thing. Do y'all turn in work orders or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much.
I think there was even one for non-reversible screws that aren't supposed to be backed out, but somehow or another these individuals figure out how to do that.
The criminal mind.
Right?
Where the will is strong.
Well, I mean, they got 24 hours a day to sit there and look at that. That's the thing. Yeah.
No, but I was just looking at this list, and it was things like I thought, you know, and you say you've put in work orders.
No.
Is it a long time before they're filled, or?
Well, I mean, Kirk and him are busy.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, Kirk and him are busy taking care of all the county offices and all that. Yeah, yeah. trying to get all that stuff done.
That's taking a long time. We're not going to put that
on. Yeah,
the shorter one. See the trouble you cause.
I think the.
Okay.
They are wonderful. I look at television and I see some of the pictures that I see the people that are in that jail. And I thank God for you every day. And I don't know how you do it. I do not know how you do it and stay sane. God's with you.
And I would also and would like to show our appreciation to you. I know that when we go around different counties and different areas in which I get an opportunity to do, we all do up here a lot. You see the, you get to talk to other counties about their jail, which is in any county, it's a huge, huge liability. And the fact that y'all manage it as well as you do and keep it in compliance as well as you do is a testament to your efforts and your staff and Sheriff Merritt's work and your work that that we can maintain clean. We were at Commissioner Judge School last week, and I sat in on the jail standards class and talking to just other judges. And Orange County's kind of known throughout that the question was posed to me is, how do y'all do it? And I said, I don't know. Call Sheriff Merritt. I have no idea, but I know they do it. Because, you know, everybody struggles with it because there are very few new jails in Texas counties. I mean, because they're extremely expensive to build. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's operating with old stuff, and I don't think everybody's operating nearly as efficiently as mm-hmm. we are, and that's just a testament to you guys and ladies.
And you all.
So thank you for that, and thank you for everything that you do.
Hey, everyone, go to the Texas Commission on Jail Standards page on the Internet. It'll give you a list of all the jails in the state of Texas that are not in compliance.
Yeah,
it tells you exactly why they're not in compliance.
Yeah, and that list is long.
So we look at that list pretty regular to see, you know, if someone got dinged on something that maybe we need to look at. And yeah.
Do we have an average cost on the on an inmate day? How much per inmate per day it actually costs
us? Some of them are more with Medicaid.
Do you have an actual average cost of an inmate day, what it costs for one day for an inmate, an average cost?
I have all those stats in my office. Okay. I could
get them to. Okay. I was just interested in one number, you know, what that average is.
But wouldn't their medications up some of them big time and take them out
medication
of average?
And medical, that's way supersedes the cost that actually houses them per day. The physical number that the county's actually out to clothe them, feed them, mm-hmm. then you get into Medicaid and physical ailments, and it's astronomical.
And that mental psychological piece is growing every day. You know, I know that. You know, it's been a while since I've taken my tour, but I saw enough to know that that's a big issue for y'all, you know, and I'm sure it hadn't diminished since I was there. So,
well over a half of our population.
Big time, some of them.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank y'all all very much for what you do over there. Y'all do a fantastic job.
Sure do.
And saying that, I'll make a motion we accept the certificate of compliance.
I'll second that, but I also commend the work y'all do. You do a great job. Yeah. And every time I go over there, I'm impressed with the people that we have over there. So thank you for the work you do.
I'll have a motion by three and a second by everybody else. I'll say Commissioner Trahan, because I think I actually heard him first, but it's kind of hard to tell. But everybody was second, so we're all good. Any further discussion? All in favor? Yes. Yeah, thank you guys. Absolutely. All right. So all in favor. So I got to say all in favor.
You got
yeah.
it.
Okay.
No motion. No against. I didn't think there would be.
Well, if you have one motion and one second, it's hard to be
all in favor. All right. Well, you just never know. You can change your mind in the middle of this stuff sometimes. Yeah. Right. Item number 11, discussion and possible action regarding the certification of the January 2020 collection report for the tax office as required under PTC 31.10. Ms. Fisher, you are up.
Good evening, and I want to say thank y'all for passing the abatement. I think that is a plus for Orange County, not just Orange, but everybody.
It's
everybody.
You're outside exactly. the agenda item.
Robert?
It wasn't me this time.
She was looking at Teresa and saying all that. You know that, right?
They don't make her do nothing. Okay.
She did a very important part. Checks in the bank. I mean, it's pretty good.
So is mine.
There you go. That's all you got to say.
All right. The collections for January is $81,494,964.15. The county portion of that is $19,064,861.84. Year-to-date collection is 73.98%.
Was that about normal?
No, we were down.
The reason
we were down is we had a problem downloading the mortgage payments. We do them online, like, and we got that figured out, and from January 31st till like February the 11th, we were back up to about 94%.
Oh, good.
Okay. We've got everything loaded and...
And that'll show on the next report.
Yes, yeah. Next report will be back up in the 90s.
Look like you sent out the enforcers.
That was a much bigger check than the treasurer's, I might have.
Exactly.
If it's a competition. If it's a competition.
And I'm saying it is a competition.
It is a competition. All right. All right. That is an action item.
I make a motion.
Second. That's three, so I think I was
three. I have three and two. Second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Speaking of competition, to say first.
Yeah.
It's amazing what thrills us here. Item 12, discussion and possible action regarding bids submitted on the following trust properties, and I'm going to go as listed since there's multiple ones here, multiple properties as listed, and so Ms. Fisher.
Okay. How would y'all like for me to do it? Do y'all want me to read each one, and then y'all say yes or no, or y'all want to do yes and no?
If you're not going to read each one, then I got to go back and read each one. But if you're going to read each one, then I don't have to. I still want us to do it twice.
Okay.
I think what she's asking, though, is whether you're going to vote on each
individually or all
or as a group.
We typically do individually.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
We don't have to.
No, she said we did.
No, you don't have to.
You can vote as a group.
You can vote as a group.
But if you vote as a group, then he's got to go back and read them all.
Well, she has to read them all anyway because she has to tell you the amount for each one.
Yeah, oh, that's right, because we don't. Okay.
On number one, account number 002772-000530. It is located at 5484 Colony Lane in Orange. We received a bid for $4,800. On number two, account number 003995-000640. The location is 1322 Irving. We received a bid for $5,000 on it. Number three is 005844-000065. And that's at 3335 Zoanne Drive in Vidor. We received a bid at $2,400 on that one. Number four, the account number is 007434-000210, and that's at 270 Elizabeth in Vidor. The bid amount is $1,400. Number five is 007642-000180, and that's at 5222 South College, and we received a bid for $2,402. Number six, account number is 012805-000100. That's located at 2206 Sunset Oak in Orange. The bid was $4,000. Number seven, account number 013331-00024, and that should be a five.
Right.
It is five? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
That is located at 975 Center Drive in Bridge City, 2402. Number eight, account number 013424-000826, 170 Mill Street in Vidor, $5,000. I make a recommendation that we go ahead and accept these bids.
Get them back on the
tax rolls.
I'll second that. I'll make a motion we get them back on the tax rolls.
Johnny bid on any of these?
No.
So you make a motion to approve all at once?
Yes.
Okay. So have a motion by two.
Yeah, I'll second.
Have a second by four to approve all properties listed, its prices listed.
I'm still scrolling. Mr. Rockefeller can just hang on for a little bit. I know he gets a little antsy, but he'll be all right.
I will say that 170 Mill is an area that the city of Vidor has been working on quite some time to
improve. Commissioner, I said, if you'd looked at them pretty to bid on them. Right?
Well, I thought about a couple of them. There's a couple of them I actually thought about.
I figured you would have scrolled through that.
Are you the 2402, the Price is Right bid? Twice.
Yeah.
It must have heard somebody bid 2400, huh?
Yeah, 2401.
That's what I said. Let's yeah. watch Price is Right. That's, you know, it's like they go $2 a dollar over.
Almost there. Everybody.
Yeah. Consider we're in the discussion stage. I thought there'd be some discussion, Commissioner Trahan. So I'm just waiting for you to look at it.
I tried to open that up.
The one I had a question about really was that, I guess, the Sunset Oaks, and I haven't looked at it yet.
It's 4,000.
That's a deal. That's a feeling.
That's
that little something, those little cul-de-sacs, isn't it? Is that right?
Off of Sunset Drive.
Let me find a map.
Yeah, find a map, because Sunset Oaks, I don't think so. Only it could
it
be is, way there. Down near by 16th
It's an
Street.
Empty lot right there. And it's probably worth
a lot more than that.
That's a pretty good deal. All I know is value seems to get a lot more valuable around here.
It sure is. I just can't imagine.
That's a deal. There's your appraised value.
What was the appraised value?
$25,000
Then they got it for $5,000. Pretty good.
How long has it been on the tax roll?
Oh, no, you would ask me that one. Robert.
Not paid.
Right, well, it's not paid.
And it looks like somebody's been mowing it.
Probably the neighbor.
Yeah.
Here we go, right there.
The sale date was December. December the 3rd. This past December.
Encore.
I know where Encore is.
I got that.
Somebody got a deal.
It was $25,704 and 46 cents.
$25,000 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So a blank lot was $25,000.
Hasn't been paid in how long?
Since 2003.
Yeah. So you hadn't got any taxes on 16 years. 18 years. Back on the road. I second that motion.
I say get it off the tax rolls.
If you want to submit a bid for higher than that, I'll bring it to the commissioner's court.
Hey, you know what?
Go for it.
He might.
I got a son-in-law's carpenter. I might. Don't put me past that.
So how do you do that?
No, it's $4,000.
I can already tell you that.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of trust properties for sale. Go look.
Are these advertising?
And you can
yes.
That's what I'm
saying. To take that one property off and let her go out for bid on it again, if you wanted to, right?
I can, yes. It's up to you.
If that would do a deal to do, we can do all of them but one.
We just voted for an abatement today, and we've heard from realtors that people are calling looking for property to build on. This doesn't have a house that has to be anything done with it.
It's an empty piece of
property on Sunset Drive. I would think that
so
it would be.
So we want to leave it off the rolls for another 5 years?
No, I think probably a couple years. Yeah, I'd be willing to go a year.
Are you going to go mow it?
Somebody's mowing it, right?
It looks like it's mowed, but maybe
somebody
it's
mowed it pretty good. I wish my yard looked quite that good. Other than that,
well, then you're not good advertisement.
Yeah, you go 4,002. All right.
Tell me.
I got it. It's still past 4-1, or do we want to reconsider? We had a motion. You started the motion.
I started the motion because I want to get it off the tax.
Yeah. So if you wanted to amend, you could to take that one property off, or we can leave as is and vote as is.
I'm okay. Let's go forward. We'll get it on tax roll.
So we have a motion by 2, second by 4. No further discussion.
No.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
I'm happy to get our vital ones back on the tax roll.
All right. Number 13.
I just think that one particular one could have done better than that.
Yeah. Number 13, discussion and possible action regarding Orange County Commissioners Court accepting road bond number 02222658 from Jefferson Southern Star Pipeline LLC. This road bond is to ensure that any potential damage done during the placement of pipelines under South Mansfield Ferry Road is repaired to the satisfaction of the Orange County Road and Bridge Department. The pipelines will be bored under South Mansfield Ferry Road at 1.47 miles east from the intersection on FM 105. Mr. Slakem.
And this is just a typical pipeline permit. That is, like you said, it's about 1.5 miles from the intersection of 105. If you're familiar with South Mansfield Ferry, it's when you get past all the houses and you go out of the woods and into the long marsh. It starts right there. It's going to be about 60 feet deep where it goes under the road. So I don't anticipate any damage. 60.
Wow. Don't we wish they were all that deep?
Directional, yes. Boring, and they get way down there. So it's just simply a matter of accepting their bond so that if they do come up with any kind of damage, that we're able to draw on that bond. If they don't do any damage, then after they're all done, we just release the bond. And
they may hit all.
That's a question. Yeah. Clark, that's a question I had. These bonds stay in place until we do the inspection.
Typically, like this one, it does say that it's in effect until they're complete.
Right.
And we have a chance to look at it, and then I come back to court and ask y'all if you're ready to release the bond.
I think they all need to be this way.
Sometimes they put a time frame, like 2 years, you know, on it, when they're not sure when they're going to start the work. But
I've seen some places they've left messes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I brought that up, Judge Gauthier and I were at a school here recently, and part of that deal came up with some of our private road subdivisions that weren't intended to be private road subdivisions. And had the bond been written until inspection, that probably would have never slid up underneath it like they did. Mm-hmm. So that going forward, that, and I know that wasn't you, that was more the city than you, but I think going forward, that's probably the way to do that. Until inspection, that bond will stay in place, and that protects us in case that inspection doesn't happen in a timely manner.
Right.
What?
Oh, did you say something?
And I'm agreeing with you.
That west side. I don't know what to do about it.
How may we accept the road bond from Jefferson Southern Star Pipeline?
I'll second.
A motion by three. I have a second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Item 14, discussion and possible action regarding approval of a replat of lots 1 to 3 and lots 46 to 48 of Block 4 in Woodshire Manor, Section 2. This property is located in Precinct 1 between Florence Drive and Ellis Street. It is within the City of Orange extraterrestrial jurisdiction. Both the Orange County Drainage District, both the Orange County Drainage District and the City of Orange have reviewed and approved the replat. The property owner has approved tax certification and fees for reproduction and recording of the plat. Mr. Slakem, if you would please move forward before these two next does, to me, keep making fun of how
so does it
work.
Go all the way to the stars? I guess it's extraterrestrial.
He said it.
It's light.
It's on the other side.
Extraterritorial. Extraterritorial. You think one thing and you see something else. It just happens.
This one's pretty simple. I don't know if y'all could see the plat, you know, the scale that you get, but what it amounts to is the owner of six small lots is just combining it into one larger lot.
Do they plan to develop it?
Well, probably it's to do away with the lot lines.
What about drainage?
Well, the drainage district has looked at it, and they have no issues. And the city, you know, has approved it. But a lot of times, people that own multiple little lots side by side want to do away with the lines so that if they build, you know, to build a house right in the middle.
Yeah, if they had to build something, they have to come back for drainage.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that'd be a different difference.
We're going the other way this time. Generally, we're dividing them. This one here is wanting to put them all back together to have a nice piece of land for one house.
Okay. Right. Is this near Deweyville?
No, it's up there. It's kind of across from the SRA office.
Oh, okay.
I guess it's sort of towards Deweyville.
What,
can we make a motion?
That's the back side.
Make a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
You're just too quick today.
She's on the ball.
I have a motion by three, a second by two. Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
bet this signature gets
now we got
quick.
The now we got the special pen, the special pen special on the special pen. Paper.
It's not going to make any difference.
It's not. Is
anybody
the
have the
theme
handy? Does anybody have the
theme?
Yeah, I get mine in here first. Where there's some room left. The special pen.
Anybody want a peppermint?
Push.
Somewhere along in there. There you are.
Yes.
I'm sick of it.
I know what that's about. Hey, Mark, abandoned right away, is this part of that? Does that include?
No, it's not part of that. It's called Short
Road. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. Whatever. These are the ones that put the hurt on the road.
Ladies go first.
Yeah.
Trained.
I'm getting out of here when I can.
That's okay.
Clark got it.
Clark's handling it now.
Coincidence.
No.
Coincidence.
That's it. I've got the watch started here.
Don't start it yet. I have to make room for the paper.
You got 3 minutes to sign it.
You got 3 minutes. Extra terrestrial might have been the right word. See?
Oh man, she was under 20 seconds there. I don't know. That might be a record.
It's that pen that does it.
The magic pen.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We're going to get a stamp for Teresa.
Yeah, we're going to buy this stamp.
Because that way we can size control.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's hard too.
It'd be a step about this big.
Let's don't put the cap on.
About the size of your big bugger head.
There you go. There you go. All right. Item number 15, discussion and possible action regarding approving the revised policy number 421 for computer hardware and software security. A new section for security awareness training is included in the revision. I know I can't say any
easy
words,
for
man.
You to say.
I've not lost it.
Judge, Commissioners, I've added a new section into our computer policy for security awareness training, just basically so that I can get y'all support on, you know, that this isn't just IT asking people to do this training, that this is a state mandated thing and it needs to be done.
What's the last day?
I haven't set up the actual training yet. The only thing we've done is that security assessment, which was just kind of see where we're at, which we had 68% complete that. So, I'm hoping that when we actually do the training that people will, you know.
You got the ability to lock them out, right? You got the ability to lock them out? I think that's the key. Yeah, after a certain date, you're going to be locked out.
But that's why I wanted another certain date.
I mean, it's just a requirement at work is a requirement at work. I don't understand why that would be. I mean, I'd expect 100% by the time we get to that point.
Well, I haven't done it.
Because as we know, we've already been a victim once.
Part of the 68% there.
I'm part of it. I'll be the first one to admit it.
We're going to lock you out,
32%.
That's okay.
Part of 32.
Should use a computer.
They sign every line.
But at least in all honesty, though, you say 68%. There's people here that might be on your list that might not ever get on the computer.
Well, I mean, we've only sent it to people with email addresses. And, I mean, most of the people that have email addresses should be.
Work email.
Work email. Yes, just the work email.
Sort of.
Because there are people that we didn't, there are people we didn't include. Because,
of course, you're...
Because you have to do at least 25% of your work on a computer or have access, to it. So if you have email, you've got access to the computer network.
We've already had one pretty serious issue, so it's important to us.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah, it just takes one person to click on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I'm just requesting y'all to approve my policy.
Salute.
I have a motion by one, a second by three. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Thank you.
Any opposed? Motion passes. 16, discussion and possible action regarding the county's policy with regard to park guests bringing and using bounce houses or water slides on county property. Possible action may include updating the county's policies to expressly permit or prohibit such items or to require guest waivers and or installation of signage requiring the same or regarding the same.
Good afternoon, everybody. I've been visiting with Denise about this. We do have a group coming into the park. They want to bring their jump houses. We had discussed whether we needed a waiver or signage, and so I requested for Denise to proof a waiver I was doing. So she said we really need to bring and discuss what exactly we need to do to protect the county whenever these bring these into the park.
At one point, we talked about an approved vendor that would take care of some of that for us. Is that where we're at?
She actually has some information on a state-kept list. I don't know about approved vendor.
Everyone who has a jump house or water slide is considered an amusement ride, and with the Texas Department of Insurance, they have to have a sticker which indicates they do have liability insurance, and an inspector has come to their establishment and gave his blessing on that piece of equipment. And so I went through the website, and there's a number of them listed. I have Beaumont, Nederland, Coontz, Lumberton, Liberty, and Beaumont, and Orange that have the correct stickers.
Would they
stickers.
Have to be that?
My recommendation is that if a guest wants to bring a jump house, they have to have a company that does have this insurance.
Approval.
Proof.
I think that's a positive thing.
Mm-hmm. And it does list, they do, according to the Texas Department of Insurance, they have to have liability insurance for inflatable, needs $1.5 million per occurrence. They have to, again, provide an A1 100 form from the inspector and a $40 filing fee for each piece of equipment. So that's what it entails to have the sticker on that equipment. So that was my suggestion. I don't think that we would be able to capture every kiddo that gets in that guest's jump house.
Yes, no.
So, you know, if we could, we don't want to disallow, we want to have them, but again, we've never discussed.
Are there certain areas of the park that's designated for those, or they can put them anywhere they want?
Well, you know, rent the pavilions, 1, 2, and 3, and the smaller ones. Mm-hmm. If they need water, they're going to have to be near the Halliburton Pavilion, the larger pavilion for the water. More than likely, they do bring jump houses for birthday parties and things. But large groups that are coming, for instance, this week is a church, and they bring three of them. Again, I don't know if they are part of this list, but before they did come, I wanted to bring it to you guys to help us decide on that policy.
Doesn't the sheriff department bring bounce houses and stuff?
Yeah, they did that day.
Again, we've never discussed it. We do not have a policy in place. That's why I'm here.
I don't think it's a bad idea to have a list of, you know, equipment being inspected to make sure it's up to safety, and they have insurance to cover.
Right.
Never totally eliminates our liability, but it helps.
And, you know, again, if there's inclement weather, you know, I would like the park staff to be able to say, hey, the wind's up, you really shouldn't put up a jump house for fear that it would tumble away. But that's just common sense. Yeah. And so again, Denise does suggest that we do have some signage in place that says.
Well, that's just an option. We explore different things that might protect the county. Liability insurance by the owner of the bounce house that's not going to indemnify the county. So we only benefit from that in the sense that hopefully someone would look to somebody else. The county still has potential liability simply as a premises owner. The likelihood of success. That's debatable, but we're still exposed if we allow that on property.
Yeah.
We discussed the waiver, but again, we can ask the person, the reservation guest, I think is what you call them, mm-hmm. to sign a waiver, but that's only if that person gets hurt. So unless you're going to have something that requires every child
that gets on its parent's signature.
Yeah, unless you have that, then those waivers really aren't going to do anything. Signage is a possible option to enforce a waiver, but again, they're not... signage doesn't really
release your liability, but I think it's a good idea to have signage out there, especially if we've got something coming this weekend, whatever we do with policy-wise. I don't think, unless we have a policy written at this very moment, we can't adopt by this weekend.
Not by this. Mm-hmm. Right. We don't have anything written. This is just to discuss.
But on that, you know, size, I think if we were to put the signage up, we could have some signage up saying that we are not responsible kind of for this weekend.
Jump at your own risk.
So ready to go. Okay. But also, my question would be, because I know that we've done a lot of events where we you know, co-sponsor with other events that are going on within the region, the county, cities. And we ask those companies or those businesses to do, have an additionally insured, you know, so we carry the insurance as so-and-so bounce house, but additionally insured Orange County, and they just list those out. Is there not a way that we could not also, if these companies that are probably on that list, they probably have that availability to put, you know, and ahead of time that we could say, hey, we'll allow it, we want your contract for your insurance, but we want to be listed as additionally insured. And almost everything we're doing right now outside cancer, but everything we're doing in these big events, we're doing that.
So the big events, I think you can definitely do that. When you have just a kid's birthday party and somebody's having 20 kids brought over, are we going to call every company and ask to be put as an additional insured every time they bounce?
You know, on a bounce house,
the smaller events that are.
I think you probably have a, you know, you might have a better chance of getting hooked out there trying to fish than you do getting hurt on the bounce house. And what I guess the point I'm making is there's a lot of dangers at that park. I mean, life is a danger. You walk out your house, it's a danger. There's a lot of ways you can get hurt at that park, and I don't know that the bounce house is any greater of a risk than fishing or some of the other stuff.
I agree with you. I mean, you can
– baseball –
risk is Denise's job. That's her job to present to us. But you can – you can't eliminate risk. I mean, you try to protect the best you can.
No, but, Robert, I look at it like – you're having 20 kids at a birthday party. Well, the parents should be, why can't they, when they get their invitation, have a form that they just sign releasing liability of the park?
Even it's if we request difficult. It, though, the enforceability of
it's
it, I mean, how do we know that everybody's
that
turning
person
it
is
in?
The one mm-hmm.
I mean, unless we're going to have somebody out there manning the bouncy house and making sure that you have a waiver, like
that. We don't want to get into that.
No.
And I've been out there before with CASA, and we've had water slides and bounce houses, and everybody made it in and out safe. And, I mean, it just seems to me we're going to make it real hard for people to use that park.
That's what I think. It doesn't cover us, it does give us at least a statement that if we require that the company that brings the bounce house shows a permit where that apparatus has been inspected, mm-hmm. that they do carry insurance, you're never erasing it, but you have done some towards saying, hey, look, we did our job.
If you use those people.
Those people. Yeah, I agree with that mm-hmm. part.
I can.
Instead of letting somebody come out, I've owned this for 10 years and it's never even been unfolded. You know, they've been inspected.
You know, and there are those families that have purchased a, you know, one from Sands or something. It's a small one.
Yeah, and that does make me nervous.
Yeah. I did get a response from Missy about from TAC, and it tells us that Orange County has general liability coverage that would provide coverage for any negligence caused by Orange County. That's what I would build.
Our signage and you picking from that list, I think that
it gives us a good stance.
That gives us a degree of coverage. Because that's the only thing as a premises owner we would be liable for is premises defect negligence anyway. So.
Yeah. Okay. But we would have to, you have something written in place or you would have to work something up to write to put into the policy?
I didn't write anything up yet. I think she's okay for this one because you've got it's a big group, reputable. I think we're fine, but if you want a policy to say that reservation guests can only bring in outside amusement rides from these licensed, approved, put that in the policy.
Okay. Right. And I think if we were to get that in place in any possible way, Clark, that we could possibly get a couple of signs at least placed by this weekend, kind of stating the, you know, limit of liability to the county for any activities incurred or injuries incurred at the park during.
So
keep it brief.
You make signs too, Clark? I don't know. I mean,
I think you put a couple at the entrance, you're probably good.
Okay. On a glossy 8x10 with arrows.
Good to know. Okay.
Yeah, I think if we get a sign or two at the entrance where we're going in, that'll kind of help us get there. Something for this weekend. Okay. That's kind of one of those things, though, but once, because, you know, the, my biggest concern about not having somebody through this weekend is because it's almost like, you know, and this is a Denise thing, I know, but once we've been made aware, we're aware, and so we need to make a step towards that, and so I think we probably need to have at least a sign by this weekend.
And then we'll work on that.
Something.
And I appreciate your efforts to protect us from ourselves.
All right, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Sabrina.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We'll move on to item number 17, discussion and possible action regarding authorizing the county judge or judge pro tem to sign the amended contract between the Southeast Texas Regional Planning Commission in Orange County for the fiscal year September 1st, 2019 through August 31st, 2020. I don't think anybody hears from Janelle's office.
No, she's not. She's driving a bus, I
think. Standard contract that we've had in place for our transportation.
So do we make a motion to accept that?
Yes, ma'am.
I make that motion to accept that.
All right. Second. So I have a motion by two, a second by four. Any further discussion?
I can let you know that it increased. The amendment is increasing the amount of the grant. So.
Yeah, and do you have that amount?
I don't know the exact amount, but it's around $9,000. Yeah.
Well, that helps.
Okay. All right. So I have a motion by two, second by four. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Let me sign this real quick. I'm lucky if y'all, I'm the only one that has to sign this.
I was going to say. Get it over with.
We're almost to the Skeeters, Patrick.
Almost to the Skeeters.
Almost to the Skeeters. Patrick
Skeeters.
Has been waiting patiently.
He has.
Patiently. All right. Item 18, discussion and possible action on regarding the Orange County Commissioner's Court authorizing county judge or judge pro tem to sign an aerial waiver permitting the Orange County Mosquito Control District aircraft to fly at low altitudes over territory under their jurisdiction for mosquito abatement purposes. Mr. Beebe.
Judge, Commissioners, this is our annual aerial waiver that it's nothing new that I come before you each year to speak with you about. I believe all of you are familiar with it that are on the court at this time, depending on either your capacity now or maybe previous work that you've done as Commissioner Viator as mayor of Vidor and Commissioner Rockford as mayor of Bridge City. But what the FAA requires us to do each year is present them with our aerial operations manual. And they review that, and it has to be approved of each year prior to any aerial flights taking place. The aerial waiver is one part of that. And not only are we required, but all programs up and down the coast, if any county that provides or entity that provides this service has to provide these things to the FAA. There's no exceptions. So what this waiver is for is standard flight rules requires a 1,000-foot altitude for aircraft in flight, and that doesn't include landings, approaches, or takeoffs. I knew there was something else that was important. Our aerial operation program falls under a different set of flight rules when we're actually applying materials, and it's called a 137 certificate. It's the same certificate that is issued to agricultural outfits that do crop dusting and things of that nature. So that certificate, there's additional requirements that our pilot has to pass and has to do flight training, so on and so forth. But it allows the pilot to get down below the 1,000-foot altitude and below 500-foot in order to apply our materials in order to be, number one, effective, and number two, to avoid drift from the target areas that are scheduled for treatment. So what the signed waiver does, it indicates to the FAA upon the review of that operational manual that I mentioned, that the governing bodies who have jurisdiction or who are in control of the areas that we are providing these services to are acknowledging that they know that we will be dropping below 1,000 foot and even below 500 foot to make the applications for our intended purposes. So that is what the aerial waiver is for.
Patrick, did y'all fly a few weeks ago or Saturday or something?
There might
There's went been over a couple, my house several times.
Not on the weekend. We've made a couple test flights. The pilot has
recently?
Made some. Yes, within the last 2 weeks.
Like, would go over my house, maybe?
Well, there's a...
no, he knows where I live.
I know. It wasn't on the weekend.
My house. What's up? I moved to authorize.
Okay,
in the process.
Go ahead.
I make a motion we approve the aerial waiver, because I also heard that whoever makes the motion gets flew over twice. But
are you going to authorize the judge to sign us?
And authorize the judge to sign.
I like that. I'll second that.
Judge Pro Tem.
Yeah, people want their houses sprayed. There we go.
Twice.
I have a motion by four and a second by one. Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
For the record, Patrick says I live by too many woods to help me. So I'm helping.
I've never said that before.
I've never said that before.
It's before the record.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right, item, item 19, discussion and possible action regarding awarding IFB 20002 F-250 XL Super Duty Crew Cab Pickup Trucks or equivalent for the Road and Bridge Department. Ms. Cassidy.
Yes, sir. You all have the bid tabulation. We've received three bids on these trucks. Y'all are going to be for Road and Bridge and Rockville County Ford was the apparent road.
That's the one we didn't have a bid. That's the one we didn't have a local bid on?
Well, that's a pretty good percentage, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is the one we brought up last week, and I think there was just concern that there wasn't a local bid.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't receive any?
Only received three bids.
Sales bees.
How does this compare to the buy board?
It's a little lower.
Okay. I guess so.
I kind of a little lower, but then you said about the same.
Well, close. I don't have the numbers.
It's just the concern of trying to buy local.
Yeah.
Sounds like we did what we could do.
Yeah.
I move to go ahead and accept Rockdale Country Ford's bid.
And I second that.
So is there any, there's no charge or anything to get them here from Rockdale, right?
And are these vehicles they have on site, or these vehicles that they have to order?
They'll have to be ordered.
Yeah.
Same in all of them?
Yes.
All of them.
There was a difference.
3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
10,000.
3 or 4 months.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I have a motion by one, a second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we've already covered item number 20. We'll move to number 21, discussion and possible action regarding awarding IFB 20004, Nifty Lift TM64. Action by the court shall include approval for the Orange County judge or judge pro tem to sign the same.
We've received two bids on this one. All-around access of $64,600.
Where is that?
That does include delivery here.
Redfish Rentals.
Ooh, yeah. And Judge, I think we budgeted around 64 for that, correct?
Yes, so right at the
exactly
budget.
Exactly the budget. So I think we accept that.
I'll second.
Right. So you're making that in a form of a motion?
I make that we accept All Around Access LLC.
All right, so I have a motion by two. I have a second by three.
Where is that?
But that does include here.
Delivery,
that's
too.
That's the cost.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And it was a big difference. It was.
Yeah, it's
$6,000.
$6,000 difference, $6,300.
Yeah. And I spoke to him about any repairs or whatever, and that's part of, he'll take care of it and tell us who we need to take care of it.
For the warranty.
Okay.
Warranty. Have a motion by two, second by three. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 22, discussion and possible action regarding rejecting all bids for IFB 2005 Ford Escape, Ford F-150, and Ford F-250, and allowing the purchasing agent to rebid.
Yes, sir. This one will need to be rebid. Local government code states that you have to advertise at least two times in the local newspaper, and unfortunately, going to the only advertise once. So, okay. Start over.
Does county record count, or just Orange Leader, the actual?
Need a motion for that?
That's our standard operating procedures, the Orange Leader.
Okay.
I make a motion to reject the bids.
Motion by four, second by one.
And rebid.
And rebid.
And rebid.
And rebid.
Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved.
Any opposed? One and four on the discussion possible action regarding adjourning commissioners court meeting. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Adjourned.
Dad, I feel like it was a